I guess if you want a title for this, it would be Forgiven, So Follow. You talk about the goodness of God, and when you think about forgiveness, that's as good as it gets. To know that a holy God can actually forgive us of our sins. I mean, what a burden is lifted when you know that you're forgiven of all your sins. And that you don't need to keep confessing your sins to make it. Once you make that step of faith and put your trust in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're forgiven.
Amen.
Your sins are gone. He doesn't remember them anymore. But anyways, Ephesians chapter 5. Actually, we're going to start in chapter 4. And we'll start at verse 29 to get the context here. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Not a lot of that going on anymore. Not too much edification in churches. Especially in a Baptist church. They're good at tearing you down and kicking you when you are down, but there's no edification and there's no minister of grace. And we're supposed to do this unto the hearers. Alright, let's go on. Verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And here we go, verse 32. And be ye kind. That's a hard thing to do for some of us. I know as a Baptist, you know, with all that Old Testament and fire and brimstone preaching and looking at people as, you know, and they are, the lost people are on their way to hell. But, you know, it's more than that. You know, in Christianity, one of the hardest things to do is to be kind. And there's nothing wrong, especially with the man, to be kind. God wants us to be kind. Now, look what's next. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted. What kind of heart do we have today? Do you have a tender heart? Towards your wife? Towards your children? Towards your parents? Towards the lost? Tender-hearted. Forgiving who? One another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, growing up in the Baptist church, that was the one thing that I never saw, was Christians and believers forgiving one another. Why is it so hard for us to forgive? When you have problems within your family or in your marriage or with other brethren in the church, why can't we forgive? We hold a grudge. But listen, a good example of a Christian, because you have been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ, there can be no better example than you being able to forgive one another. It has to be part of the Christian life in forgiving people. After all, that's where it starts with us. I'm standing here today and in this conference because the Lord Jesus Christ forgave me. He forgave me of all my sins. And in return, we are to forgive one another. All right, let's go to Colossians 2:13. And we looked at this verse, I think it was yesterday, one of the other brothers quoted this verse. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all what? All trespasses. It's all forgiven. Yet, in certain people's lives, we can't forgive certain things that they have done to us. Listen, wouldn't it be great when you first got saved, because you knew that you were forgiven, and you went back to all the people that you did something wrong against or whatever and asked for their forgiveness? I mean, what an example that would have been. But you're not taught that. We're not taught that anymore, to forgive one another. You know why you need to forgive one another? Because people aren't perfect. Christians aren't perfect. We're going to fall. We're going to trip. We're going to mess up. But thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ that picks us back up. All right, let's go to Colossians 3:13. Let's start at verse 12. Here the Lord wants us to put on some things. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, there it is again, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, verse 13, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. See, forgiveness is a part of the Christian life. Because that's where it started with you when God forgave us. Alright, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Or no, we've already been there. Ephesians chapter 1, I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 1. And let's look at verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We're forgiven. Let's forgive one another. Now, if there is only one reason you need to become a follower of God, it's right there. Because He forgave you. We are bought with a price. We owe it to Him. To live for Him and to serve Him. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of the Baptist Church. See, you can put anything in there you want. A doctrinal statement, anything you want, because that's what they're doing. Even when we us who follow Paul, it's to follow God. That's why we follow Paul. To follow God. So be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Ask yourself today, who are you following? See, if you keep following your Baptist preacher, he's going to let you down. But you know what? God will never let you down. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ is perfect. Listen, in this world today, especially the young crowd, you know who they're following? They're following the sports heroes. They're following the musicians. Everything out there in the world is what they're following. And I'm telling you, as somebody that's saved, somebody that's forgiven, we should be followers of God as dear children. Now this is where it gets hard, because if you're forgiven, and you're a follower of God, guess what? There's a certain way you should be walking. And that's what we find in Paul's epistles. And I'll tell you what, look at verse number 2. You want to follow God? Look at verse 2. And walk in what? Love. That's an easy word to say. We say it all the time to your wife. You know, I love you, honey. I love my kids. But listen, when you say I love the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to have something in your life that backs that up. And the Lord is interested in how we walk. See, that's what really gets me when you say that you follow Paul. And then you come across a Baptist or any other denomination, and then they say that you can walk any way you want. But you cannot find that anywhere in Paul's epistles. You cannot walk the way you want. You put it right here, Paul says, you need to walk in love. Now, this is very important. As Christ also hath loved us. What kind of love was that? Let's go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Or Philippians chapter 2. We'll start at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's what Christ did. He was obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. Why? So we could have what? Forgiveness. Amen. See, there, believe it or not, we have a lot of responsibility on us to walk in love. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You know what that means? Before you came to Christ, we stunk. There was something wrong with us. We needed God's forgiveness. And we got it. See, when you get caught up in all this denominational stuff and all the things all these denominations are teaching you, and if you don't go, listen to me. If you preach Paul's gospel, with a true heart. I mean, you're really truthful, sincerity. You have sincerity in your life. You're going to end up following Paul. If you really want to follow, to be a follower of God, you've got to get there. And you're not going to get there if we're not going to read Romans through Philemon. Now, I know we need to read the entire Bible. But where it really is at is in Paul's epistles to us. Yeah. Listen, is it easy to walk in love? I mean, try loving somebody that you can't stand. I mean, you're going to come across them all the time. Especially when you start to witness to people. I mean, we need to walk in love. I mean, that word, I mean, we need to walk in the Spirit. Apart from that, we need to walk in what? Newness of life. I mean, where is that newness of life? What happened to the new creature? Where is it? Where are you going to find it? It's like it disappeared from the church, from the body of Christ. Where is the newness of life? There's got to be, I mean, if He forgave us, and you have the joy of Christ, and you want to walk in love and walk for God, I mean, there should be something different about us. All right, let's go on. All right, now we're going to see how we're not to walk. Look at verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness, all right. You know, that's one sin as a Baptist that we wouldn't preach on. Because you know you got to have 500 suits. I mean you have to have like 500 books to understand the Bible. I mean doesn't that fall under that? You need this, you need that. You're never content. But look what he says here. Let not be what named among you as becometh saints. Listen, what is too much? Amen. Because he's forgiven of that. He's forgiven us of that those sins. And we're, see, listen, how can you say as a Pauline believer, somebody that follows Paul, that we believe that you can walk any way you want? When he says right here, not yet, don't let a flesh be named among you as become a saint. Doesn't he say in Timothy, let all those who name the name of Christ depart from what? Iniquity. Listen, God has a standard, and He wants us to live. And this is Paul's books right here. You think that's bad? Let's keep going on here. Verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving up what? Thanks. Now listen, what did we find out in Ephesians chapter 4? What did God do with us? He forgave us. I mean, you can always, always thank God for your forgiveness. There's always something to be thankful for. Even though in a lot of the fellowship that we had and we look out and we see how bad it is and how things are just falling apart, we can still be thankful. We can still be thankful. And that brother touched on it yesterday. We have a lot to be thankful for. We can thank God for this book. We can thank God for His love. We can thank God for leading us into rightly dividing. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I first started looking into this Paul stuff, and I'm telling you, it was like a burden was lifted. And it was such a joy to be able to get in your Bible and know of all... I mean, Ephesians talks about our spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. You know, that's what denominations do. They rob you of your spiritual blessings that you have in Christ. I mean, I was a Baptist preacher. I pastored a few Baptist churches. I mean, but I didn't have what God really wanted me to have. I wasn't following the wise master builder, who was Paul. Listen, if your foundation isn't right, you're not going to get to where you need to be. It's just you're going to live a life of defeat. Listen, in Paul's epistles, I mean, just looking at that message we had on faith. It's all of Him. It's a gift. Everything He gives us is because of that cross and what happened on that cross. It's all. That's why 1 Corinthians, where Paul says that no flesh can glory in His presence. You can't boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I mean, what are you going to say to God? I mean, what makes you think you're so great? So I mean, especially as a Baptist preacher, what makes them think that they're so great? You know, they got that special anointing. They got that super unction from on high. But only they have it, though. You're not going to get it. They have it. It's just something, ain't it? All right, let's go on here, verse 5. I mean, listen. Do not count out your walk. And I, you know what? I've heard some things today I know I need to work on my walk. Because we are to be an example to other believers. Where are we going to go to find an example today? Where are they? I'm going to tell you what, they're not in Vermont. So that just puts more on me. I need to be that example of the believer in my walk for Him. Not once. Once is too many, too much. All right, let's go on here. Verse 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Listen, what is coming after the dispensation of grace is over and the rapture happens? God's wrath is coming on this Christ-rejecting world. And listen, as somebody that wants to walk with God and walk for God, I don't want to be doing those things that when He comes back, the wrath of God is going to be poured upon this world in which we live. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We need to be concerned about our walk and the way we live this life. All right, let's go on. Verse 7. Be not ye therefore, what? Partakers with them. Listen, separation is important. That's another thing that needs to be part of our Christian life, is to be separate. And it's not happening today. All right, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. And here we are. What? Children of light. There's another whole 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, children of light. I mean, how much light are we giving out in our walk? How much truth do people see? Do people really see the walk that we're supposed to have in our Christian life? Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Verse 10, I like this verse. Proving what is acceptable unto who? To the Lord. Not your Baptist preacher. Not your Sunday school teacher. Not the deacon. Proving what is acceptable unto... That means there are some things in our life that aren't acceptable unto the Lord. We need to get rid of those things. Not once, he says here. Verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You know, I really want to be somebody that is a follower of God. All this stuff about following men, you know, and that's what you're doing when you buy another man's book. Yep. You're following a man. You have all this stuff coming at you. I mean, even in church. You know, now you got the Christian bookstores and all this stuff's coming at us, you know, to get you to follow them. That's what they really want. But see, Paul's way is so that you follow Paul to be a follower of God. I mean, what does that really mean? Think about it. Here I am, somebody that's been forgiven, and I can actually be a follower of God. I can follow Him. I mean, so we all can. I mean, the Lord, you know, as the body of Christ, right? He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We're ambassadors for Him. And that all has to do with the way we walk. All right, let's jump down here to verse 15. See then that ye walk, there it is again, walk, circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Listen, as a believer, can you walk as a fool? I mean, how many of us ended up because we followed a man or a denomination, we end up walking as a fool. Listen, He doesn't want us to walk as fools, but He wants us to walk but as wise. Verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are what? Evil. What are the days? The days are evil. I mean, look around. It doesn't take much as a Christian. I mean, when you go to the grocery store or wherever you go, you're going to see that the day is evil. We need to be serious about this Paul stuff when it comes to our walk. Look at verse 17. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Hey, I know what the will of the Lord is. Follow Paul. I mean, Paul's the one that says, consider me, and I will give thee understanding in what? How much? All things. Listen, the church no longer considers Paul. The church no longer follows Paul's epistles. The church no longer believes this book. The church no longer rightly divides this book. And then we wonder why we can't find any examples of the believers. They've disappeared. They're gone. It's like the rapture's already happened. I mean, listen. We don't know when the Lord's coming back. And if He keeps putting this off, I mean, what do you think's going to happen? I mean, Paul says what's coming. What's ahead for us? Perilous what? Perilous times. That's what's coming. So Paul doesn't tell us that in advance. So that means we should be getting ready for it. Because they're coming. It's like right around the corner. All right, let's continue on here. Verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with what? The Spirit. Don't be filled with the Baptist preacher. Don't be filled with Baptist books. Don't be filled with the denomination. Be filled with what? The Spirit. I mean, in Galatians he says, hey, they started out right, but they were bewitched. They were tricked. They were fooled. And they got off the right track. And now they're on the wrong track. Because see, if you take your eyes off of what God has before you, you're not going to be where God wants you. Listen, one thing that dispensationalists got right is that in every dispensation, it ends in failure. It ends in failure. I mean, we're taking what God dispensed to Paul. And now we need to take that, and that verse in Philippians that we use a lot, that you learned, seen in me, he says, do. Now, that's part of your walk. I mean, where are you in your walk? Where are we in our walk? Are we filled with the Spirit? And I like the context of this, because look at verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in tongues. All right, listen. Verse 19, Paul just said, you're filled with the Spirit. But that's not the result of it. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. There's giving thanks again. Can't get away from that. Especially as a Pauline believer, one of the things you should be doing in your Christian walk is giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I know this, if you're filled with the Spirit, you got a joy in your heart. You got music, the melody in your heart. I also know this, look at verse 21, if you're filled with the Spirit. Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto who? The Lord. See, if you're Spirit-filled, you're going to be speaking, you're going to be submitting. Look at verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the what? Body. See that? That's why. See, the answer to the church that's messed up, the answer to the home that's messed up, is found in Paul's epistles. Paul's the one that has the instructions for us to get it right, to nail it down so that we have the right walk, and live for God. It's right here. If you're Spirit-filled, you're speaking, you're submitting. Verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. You know, the church is subject unto Christ. The church has no right to do whatever it wants. We're Baptists. It's subject unto Christ, not to the Baptist pope or the Baptist preacher. It's subject to Christ. Right from over the Bible, it says that Christ is the head of the church.
Yeah.
Alright?
Right.
Christ is the head. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Paul uses that phrase a lot. Gave Himself for it. He gave Himself for it. Boy, that's a lot of love, is it not? When it comes to your wife. A lot of love. 26. We're almost finished up here. That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the what? It's the Word. You know what? It's one thing to really believe this book and to rightly divide it. But this Word will do something in your life and in your walk if, just like Paul says in Thessalonians, if you believe it. If you receive this as the Word of God, not as the Word of men, it will do something. Listen, we all have things we're going through and we all have hard times ahead. But God gave us this book for a reason. So that we could walk. So that we could be a follower of God. All right, verse 27. That He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. A glorious church. Now, where would you find that today? Wouldn't it be great? But with everything that Christ has done for the body, it is a glorious church. Verse 28. The Lord Paul's really going after the men here. Verse 28. So that men, he's comparing this to verse 27, to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. 29. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth, cherisheth it, even as the Lord, what? The church. But do you really love your wife that much? Do you really, really love your wife that much? I mean, the Lord's comparing this to how He thinks about His church. The body. I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about the people that He shed His blood for. For we, listen, this is how serious it is at verse 30. For we, that's us, those that have been forgiven, those that are saved, for we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Listen, He forgave you. He's forgiven us so that we would become. Be ye, that's what verse 1 says. Be ye therefore, because you were forgiven, we should be followers of God. Not men, not the denomination, not a book, but be followers of God. There is so much stuff out there now to take you away from becoming a follower of God. Listen, if you read Paul's epistles, you are either going to get this stuff right, or you're going to just quit. Yeah. You can't read this stuff and not have it have an effect upon your heart and your walk. I mean, Paul is so straight when it comes to the things that he's saying on how we should walk. All right, verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. That's the way it's always been, and that in God's eyes, that's the way it always will be. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church, and this is how it ends, verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Those last few verses, you know what God wants a man to do that's married? He wants you to love your wife. I mean, why would God have to say that? Through Paul. I mean, wouldn't you automatically assume you're going to love your wife? Look at it. He's comparing this to his church. The body of Christ. And then the wife is to reverence her husband. But you know what's going on today? Because it happened in my life. I had the words down. I had the right, the tie, the jacket, all that stuff. But I didn't love my wife. I didn't treat her the way I was supposed to. Because see, I wasn't following Paul. Show me where you're going to find this stuff in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first part of Acts, about you loving your wife the way Christ loved the church. See, those Christians that are caught up in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, first part of Acts, Hebrews through Revelation, that's not where it is. It's here. But see, you don't want to deal with that stuff. See, preachers, they're looking out there and they're seeing this with all the things that are going on. And they don't want to deal with it. And you can't deal with it unless you're preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, what God gave to Paul. Now listen, when he says to love your wife, does that mean you just say it? I love my wife. That's it, right? We're good to go. No. What does it mean? That means it's part of your walk. Your wife's not a dirtbag. She's a woman that God gave you. And we need to love her. What else does it say? You're not to be bitter, I think it is. Is that in Colossians? You're not supposed to be bitter towards your wife? I'm not sure where the verse is at. But anyway, what's going on in my life is I do, and I know Brother Paulson's touched on it. I mean, are you really Pauline? Or are you just Pauly? I like to say I'm a Paulite. I want to walk this walk. And I listen. And this walk of love, walk in love, verse 2 again, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering. It was a sacrifice. See, we don't want that part in our life. Doesn't Paul say that we're to be a living sacrifice in Romans chapter 12? Let's follow Paul as believers. Let's walk the walk. Let's get this walk stuff down and walk for Him. And I want to say one other thing about prayer, because Brother Paulson brought it up yesterday about praying for one another. Listen, more than ever do we need to be praying for one another. And I was thinking, a couple of times when Paul talks about prayer, he always has this word attached to it. And it's that word ceasing. Pray without ceasing. I mean, you should always be praying. Always. That's how a church is supposed to pray. See, this stuff about, you know, we're going to pray on Wednesday night and we're going to pray at certain times, that's not what Paul said to do. Paul said we should always be praying. Don't we have a lot to pray about? Especially nowadays? Especially when it comes to your walk? And then you have other believers that, you know, you want to get this Paul stuff to them. You really want them to come to an understanding, just like you did. But you know what? We have to have patience. We have to minister grace. Because I didn't get it. I mean, I was a Baptist for a long time, 20-something years. And it's only been like 2 or 3 years ago that I really started getting a hold of this Paul stuff. But you know what? You know what that says about myself? Is that I didn't read this book, and I didn't study this book the way I was supposed to. Well, I listened to my preacher. I got the books he told me to get. But I didn't read it. I didn't study it. You study. We need to read it. We need to pray. I need to do that stuff. So that's where I'm at. Let's walk. So that we are a good example of the believer. I mean, that's what Paul told Timothy. Be a good example of the believer. A good. I mean, Paul said that we're to fight. What kind of fight? A good fight. Well, let's make it a good fight. I mean, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be that good soldier. I love Baptists. They love going to that chapter. And the thing about, you know, teaching other faithful men and so on and being a good soldier. But they never stay at verse 1. Because it tells you where you get your strength. Be strong in the law. Is that what it says? No, it says be strong in what? Grace. That's where it's at. No, it's not grace teaches you that you can do whatever you want. We just saw the word, don't let it be once named among you that's become a saint. That's not what grace does. But grace will teach you to deny some things according to Titus 2. And we'll deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And we'll live for Him. Listen, when that trumpet sounds and that rapture happens, when it happens, I want to be walking for God. I want to be doing the things that God wants me to do according to what He gave Paul. So, if you're really following Paul, you're going to end up being a follower of God.